turn with me to the twenty-first chapter of Revelation. We know that this book is not, I've heard it referred to, or John referred to as the Revelator. He's not the Revelator. God is the Revelator. And what he reveals is Jesus Christ. At the very beginning of this book, he says, its first part says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what this reveals. And he revealed it in visions to John, and John wrote them down by the Spirit. And he revealed various things to John in all these, and in chapter 1, getting towards the close of God's Word to His people, he says, and John says, this is after he talks about death and hell being cast into the lake of fire, and that being the second death, meaning the death after the first death, which is the death of our bodies. This is a total separation from God. And verse 15 to 20 says, and whosoever was not found in written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So that's how the chapter 20 ends. And chapter 21, immediately, John says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, I would love to be able to read the whole rest of the book to you, and I'm going to read some of it. But first of all, I want us to realize, and this goes back to the very same thing we've been talking about for the past couple weeks, and really for the last 5 months almost. This is the revealed kingdom of God. This is the kingdom that God revealed to John in its entirety and in its perfectness, in her future state, in glory. And John saw what we are only hoping to see, and what we finally will see at the resurrection. But he says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, we've been talking about marriage for the past couple weeks, and how that our marriages are only pictures of the real thing, and the real thing is of Christ and His bride. And this bride is before the consummation. She is prepared for her husband, and she's adorned for her husband in every way, in every possible manner. She is adorned, and she's coming down from God. Now this is, I take this to mean that when the Lord comes back, that we'll see that holy city, we'll be part of that holy city, and and we'll see it just like John saw it coming down from heaven with the Lord. So he says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them.'" You know who we have with us right now? We have with us the Comforter. We have with us the Holy Spirit. And at this time, we're going to have all of the forms and essences of God. We will have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all in one. There was a period of time where the people only had Jesus Christ. I say only as meaning one of the three. They couldn't see God the Father. He had to be veiled in flesh. His glory had to be subdued, or men could not see him. They can't look upon his glory, in other words. And then he says, "When I go away, if I go away, I'll send the Comforter to you." And that's who we have now. But at this time, when the Holy City comes down, we'll see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all as one. And I tell you what, I can't wait for that day. And he says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Now I tell you, just as our marriages are pictures of Christ and His relationship with His bride, so is the church today a picture of the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. This is a place that is a respite from the cares and the toils and the ungodliness of this world. This is the church. This is the place where you can find rest on this earth. But this, even, the church is just a picture, a earnest of the inheritance, so to speak, of that holy city, the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. This is it. That's what the church is. It is also a picture of the New Jerusalem coming down. And that this is, in this world, is the church not the most blessed institution? It's where God dwells. I know God's everywhere. I know that. I know that He's omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. I understand all those things, that He's everywhere. But I tell you, there is a special place where God meets with His people, and it is the church of God, where they come together and where they can sing songs one with another, and they can sing praises unto their God, and they can leave all of the foolishness and wickedness of the world on the outside. And it's just a picture of the New Jerusalem coming down, where there will be no more death, no more tears, no more pain, and no more crying. You know, in the world today, that's all that there is. There's just crying, death, pain, and tears. That's all there is in the kingdoms of the world. But this New Jerusalem, this wonderful culmination of all of God's people in its purity and in its entirety, John saw. I tell you what, one day we'll see that. My dear father in the ministry, one of them, Elder T.O. Webb, seeing it. We put him in the grave last week. He's seeing the Jesus and the Father for the first time in perfectness, with pure sight. He's not seeing them through a glass darkly anymore. His pilgrimage is over, his journey is over, and he is home. That's the New Jerusalem. That's the Holy City. It's a beautiful place. Can you imagine a place where you won't cry? Can you imagine a place where you have no more pain? Can you imagine a place where your memory doesn't fail? Can you imagine a place where you don't have to take medicine? Can you imagine a place where there's no more death? Can you imagine a place where there's not one idle word or one wicked thought? That's the place that John is that is being described to John. He's talking about the New Jerusalem, that wonderful place. Now, in this world, that's what the church ought to be. Amen? It ought to be a picture of the New Jerusalem in this world. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." God told John, "You write down what you're seeing so that the people will have some comfort. You write it down and let them know that what you're seeing is true and it will come to pass." And he said unto me, "It is done." That's what God said to him. He said unto me, "It is done." If it's done, I take it to mean that there's no more work there. Jesus Christ said, "It is finished" on the cross. God said, "It is done." I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I want you to know that the God that we're waiting to see, the God that we're hoping and expecting to see, He was there in the beginning before we ever were, and He'll be with us forevermore. And He lives forevermore. He was the first, and He is the last. You know when Isaiah says, "I am Alpha Omega, I have declared the end from the beginning." Did you know that? That God declared the end from the beginning. That means to me that God understood and knew, and not only knew it, but He declared the end. How can you declare the end if you don't know the beginning? And He says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." I tell you this, that this means that word overcometh means the people that have the authority to do it. The people that are justified as having authority to do it, to be overcomers. This isn't some perseverance text that tells you that you were that you worked hard enough to get there. That's not what it means. It means that he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And that means to me that the same thing that John talked about to them gave him power to become the sons of God. It means that they acted consistent with their nature and they overcame and they had the authority to look like children of the Father. And these people that inherit it have the authority to do so given to them by God. And he says, but the fearful, listen to the opposite, but the fearful, and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's what he's separating these people out from, being part of the bride, the ones that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and those that are acting consistent with their nature, which is only the natural man, and they're all liars, and they're even fearful. I tell you what, in the day of the Lord, when New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven like John saw it, I guarantee you that the wicked will be fearful, won't they? That's not talking about having doubts and fears as a child of God as we walk now. We've got fear, don't we? We've got some fear at some point. That's not talking about the people. That's talking about people that fear God just like the wild Gadareans devils did, legion, when they said, "Why comest thou to torment us before our time?" They believe and tremble. They tremble with fear, the devils do, because they know that there's a time that they where they will be cast into the lake of fire, chained forever, not able to come out. And in that day when God reveals New Jerusalem to all of us as a bride adorned for her husband, there will be great fear among the wicked, but great joy among the righteous. And I tell you, that was just an overview that he said that God showed him just in general about the bride. Now, there came one unto me, in verse 9 he says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." He's going to take him for a closer look about the bride, the Lamb's wife. God gave him the overview, and he saw it in its fullness and in its beauty, but the angel now is going to take John a little closer, and he's going to walk him down the street, so to speak, and say, "You see that? Look at that. You see this over here?" And he says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as a breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, and that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, and on and on and on. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, neither to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That sounds like a pretty good place to live to me. Sounds like a pretty good place to live to me. I want us to examine this a little bit closer. Maybe hit some highlights. I can't tell you what heaven's going to be like. I can't tell you a lot of that, but I can tell you some things about it. Number one is that he says that she had a light in her. And that light was like unto a stone most precious, clear as crystal. Not like us looking through a glass darkly now. We'll see all things clearly when we get there. Because we'll be in the real light. And I'm building a shop right now and I'm still trying to... I want to make sure because my eyes are getting dimmer. And I want to make sure that there's a lot of light down there so that I can see. And see really close things. So light's very important to me. I like the light. I don't like the dark much. They get on to me about turning the light on at the house so much. Keeping them on. Even when I'm not in their other room. But I want you to know that when we get to glory in the new Jerusalem that comes down as a bride, she has no darkness in her. There's only light. That means it's perfection. And all things are clear. And there's no darkness and nothing that crawls and creeps around in the dark up there. There's no critters up there that could hurt you in that place. There's no men, no wicked men that would be able to hurt you in that place. And he says, not only does it have a light like a stone most precious. If y'all ever seen a woman that looks that's just now got engaged and she's got her a big old ring on her finger, and you know what they do? They always come and they show it to you, don't they? They always show you their ring. And you look at it and you hold her hand and you do like that and it just sparkles. It sparkles in its beauty. And do you know how they grade those rings? They grade them to their clarity. You know the gems that the diamonds, when they grade those rings, they grade them for their color. And the ones that have the clearest color are the most precious stones. And they're the ones that reflect the most light. And I tell you what, that's what the church is here to this world. It's something that we ought to be holding up as a light in the world. You are a light. Jesus called you salt and light. Ye are the light of the world. Make sure your light is pure too. Make sure you've got, make sure you're holding yourself up so that other people can see the light of Christ sparkling off of you. And he says, not only did it have that beautiful light, but it had a wall, great and high. Back in the time that God revealed this unto John, the cities there in that part of the world were walled cities. They had some that weren't, but the biggest ones and were walled. And that was for her protection. Not only was it for her protection But it was also for safety, so that nobody could come in at night and nobody could go out. So it was a secure place. And I think that this New Jerusalem is a very secure place. You know that. It's a walled city. And just like the church of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth is a secure place. It's a safe place to be. And it has a wall. And it also has watchmen. We talked about the watchmen last week a little bit. How that the Shulamite, she neglected her Lord. She neglected her husband. And he says, "Open to me." And she says, "I'm already gone to bed. Don't bother me now. I've taken off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've already washed my feet. How shall I defile them?" And then he left. And who found her? Said the watchman found her, right? The watchman that sat on the wall of the city of the king's park. The king's palace, the watchman that stood on the wall, that they saw her, and she said that they stripped me, not really of all her clothes, but they wounded her. They smote her. They wounded her. Why is that? Because there are some things that we do as the bride of Christ in this world that causes us to be out of fellowship with Him for a while. Not because He's not in fellowship with us, but we're just not. But we neglect Him. And the watchman, just like in the Song of Solomon, wounding her. I think the ministers are the watchmen of the church. And thank God I haven't had to do that much here at all. But the watchmen, when they see something not really right, they too have the authority to wound part of the bride so that she would search for her lover, search for her friend, search for her God again. So this city is a walled city. And this walled city had 12 gates. And on those 12 gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And I had a thought this morning. And it also had a foundation. This city, this New Jerusalem has a foundation. And the foundation is, got the names of the 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ written on it. Now, which one of these came first in history? You think about it. Which one of these came first in history? Well, the 12 tribes of Israel came first in history, didn't they? Before the apostles. But what is the whole city founded upon? It's founded upon the apostles. And it has their names written on the foundation. Ultimately, it's the foundation of Christ, we know. That's what Paul said, for other foundation can no man lay that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now on this, that tells, I tell you that the thought that I have about this is that all of these, that the foundation of the apostles is talking about people that have conducted their lives in accordance with the things that they taught that are in complete coherence with what Christ taught, as according to the kingdom of God, and that live according to its tenets. That's what the holy city is built upon. It's built upon the tenets of the kingdom of God, because that's what it is. It's the kingdom of God. And the apostles were the ones that taught about it. And now the other thing that I thought about was he talked about the 12 gates being the 12 tribes of Israel. Who are you? Are you an Israelite? Are you an Israelite? I submit to you today that you are. You're an Israelite. You're not one by blood. You're not one by a fleshly lineage. But you're a spiritual Israelite. That's what Paul called you. When he said, they're not all Israel that are of Israel. And I tell you what, if you're a spiritual Jew, which is what Paul called you, called me. If you're a spiritual Jew, you're going to enter in through the gates, see, of this holy city. Boy, I tell you what. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof, and the city lieth four square. I don't know if this New Jerusalem is a physical city. I think it is. John saw it. He measured it. Well, whether it is or whether it ain't, I don't know, but because I haven't seen it. But I tell you this, if it's four square, it's perfect. Try to make a cube exactly perfect. I've tried. I can't do it. It's perfect in every way. The breadth is the same as the height. And it goes on to describe how beautiful this is. Now I want us to remember that this is a bride adorned for her husband. What is the church adorned for? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is adorned for her husband too. She's just waiting. I want to tell y'all a story. After I tell you about John, in John chapter 3, towards the end of chapter 3, some of the disciples of John come and they're asking him a question. They said, why they had a question about purifying, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, talking about Christ, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizest, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Chew on that one for a little while. Then he says, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. John's blessing was, and his joy was fulfilled. Why? Because he heard the voice of the bridegroom. Y'all may have heard me tell this story before. This to me, I pray to God I'd never forget. On a trip, the very first trip that we took to Africa, We were not tired because of jet lag, and Sam wanted to go. We heard a commotion, and Sam wanted to go and find out what it was. So he took off, and I said, well, I'm not going to let him go by himself. So I got and went with him. In the compound where we were staying there, apparently there was a lot of people there with a lot of celebration and a lot of joy. And Sam and I walked in, we were outside, and a man met us and greeted us and told us, he welcomed us to come in and partake of anything that they had available. And so he sat down and we said, we'll take some water. So he got up and he brought us some water. And as we sat there, I asked him what this was, and he says, this is a wedding feast. And people were enjoying the celebration. And I had a lot of questions. And I asked him, I said, what's going on? He says, oh, we are enjoying one another's company. We don't get to see each other all that often, and we're enjoying each other's company. And then I got to noticing that people started to get up and go, and almost like we do a handshake. And the bride was up here by herself, and the people would come by and they would shake her hand and give her a blessing or talk to her for a minute and then leave. And I asked our host what was happening, and he said the people are blessing the bride. They're giving their blessing to the bride. And so Sam and I got in line, and I told her, I said, I pray that the Lord will bless your marriage to be God-honoring and to be blessed by Him. And we went back and sat down, and I asked our host, I said, why? I see the bride and I see all the people that are with her, and why? But where's the groom and the bridegroom? And he says, oh, the bridegroom comes at his appointed time. And I said, well, what are you doing now? He said, well, we're waiting on the bridegroom to come. We're waiting on his arrival. And I said, when is he going to come? And he says, he will come in his appointed time. As time drew on, Sam and I got up. And just as we got up, I heard a trumpet blow. And then a shout. The herald that blew the trumpet came in, and he announced the arrival of the bridegroom. And I tell you that all eyes left the bride at that moment and were fixed on the bridegroom. And I tell you that that was the most perfect picture of a wedding ceremony, as a picture of what our marriages are for and what the bride of Christ is to do on this earth. She is to rejoice with, well, we're to rejoice with the bride while we wait for the bridegroom to come. You see, the way that we do it in this country is exactly backwards. You see, all of the and people aren't really even focused on the bridegroom. He's just something to look at up there. and most people don't even look at him. But when the music starts, all of our eyes turn to the bride. Friends, I want you to know, when the last trump shall sound and the shout of the archangel comes, there won't be anybody worried about the bride anymore, because the bridegroom's here. And I tell you, when Christ comes down and He takes His bride home with Him, all the focus won't be on the bride. All the focus will be on Him, because there will be no night. Therefore, He is the light thereof. Oh, I tell you what. But we're still living in this old world, aren't we? We're still living while we wait for the bridegroom. We're waiting, and we ought to be rejoicing with the bride. We ought to be partaking all manner of things that she has available for us to partake in this world. And there ought to be people saying, "Welcome, you come on into the church. Welcome, friend," putting their arm around us and welcoming us in and saying, "You're welcome here. We have all manner of things for you to partake of. Rejoice with us while we wait for the bridegroom." That's what the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is on this earth. Rejoice with the bride while she waits for the bridegroom. What are some of the last words that are spoken in the book? Here in Revelation chapter 22. Verse 16. This is the words of the Lord. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches." You know what an angel is? It's a messenger of God. A God-called minister is an angel, so to speak. Each one of the churches of Revelation, he said, "Unto the angel of the church at Philadelphia, unto the angel at the church at Sardis, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, I write these things." He wrote them to the minister. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." You know what he didn't say there? He says, he didn't say take of the tree of life freely. He said take of the water of life freely. I can't offer the tree of life to you, but I can offer the water of life to you. I tell you what, the water of life is in the church. The Spirit says, "Come." That means not only is the Spirit within you that says, "Come," but the church also extends an invitation for you to come. And rejoice with her while she waits for her husband. I tell you, this church says, "Come." This church says, "You're welcome here. Come rejoice with us while we wait for the bridegroom." Oh, I tell you what, there is of such a beautiful picture of Christ and His church and His bride. Not only represented by the church, but also our marriages. What a wonderful blessing it is to have a wonderful part in both of them. I thank God for Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and you may come be baptized, come, join the church, and be obedient to the commands of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and wait with His bride while she waits for her husband. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.